Welcome back to the April edition of the Sportslandia show here on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM. A special feature episode doing a crossover here with our friends over at Wizards of Wrestling, another KXRW program. Patrick, one of the hosts of that show, is lending his wrestling know-how to us. You heard us talk about WrestleMania in the first half. We're going to look at more of the local scene here. And we are fortunate enough, and this was by no means masterminded by me. It was just a very fortuitous scheduling. Patrick, do you know what's coming to town next week?
Roundtable Pro Wrestling.
We're going to get to them in a minute. We have AEW coming to town next week.
Oh, that's right.
Dynamite and Collision.
That is right.
Filming together Veterans Memorial Coliseum here on Wednesday, April 22nd. AEW, really the favorite alternative for non-WWE fans if you like a little bit different style pro wrestling. And these tickets are only $40. Now, granted, you can spend a little bit more to get right by ringside, but if you are looking for something to do next Wednesday night, get down to the Veterans Coliseum in Portland and, you know, only $40-$50 for a ticket, and you can watch pro wrestling right here in your own backyard.
Yes, AEW, for a while, they were arguably hotter than WWE for a while. They had a moment when they were the new kids on the block and they were doing better. They had a stacked roster, still do, but I think when CM Punk jumped there, you could argue that they were drawing a little better numbers than WWE at the moment. However, and I say this, you know, WWE's at a point, it's been around so long, it's done what it's done so long. It's WWE is always going to be what is known as when you think of pro wrestling.
Right.
And AEW doesn't really need to necessarily try to outdo that. I think they're doing better, you know, being smart, realizing that, you know, we are the alternative. I think it's smart that they keep ticket prices where they're at. You know, to be that, hey, you can't afford WWE, come to our show. I've been to a couple of AEW shows, and what I can say, if you are a fan of pro wrestling matches, it is definitely worth their money. They stack the card. You get a lot of matches for your night, and they're doing, you know, a Dynamite and Collision, so double match card. If you like wrestling, you'll definitely see your share of wrestling matches that night. And anybody who has a chance to go see AEW, I highly recommend that.
As you mentioned, as a double bill, you're probably going to get everybody. MJF's their current world champion. John Moxley is the Continental title. FTR is the tag champion. So all these guys are going to be there. And we kind of skip past it. Do we have any Pacific Northwest connections on the WWE roster right now? I mean, there's so many people between WWE and NXT. I'm sure there's someone. We've been fortunate enough to have some of the AEW guys on the show here.
Yeah.
Between our show and your show. So I'm trying to think, who do we all have? Darby Allin's the famous one now that Brian Danielson is kind of, or Daniel Bryan is kind of semi-retired. But who else do we have? Brian Cage, Darby Allin, or Pacific Northwest guys? I'm sure I'm blanking on some that you know.
Swerve Strickland.
Oh yeah, Swerve is a big Seattle guy.
Swerve Strickland.
Is Brody King, or did I know Brody King's a California guy? Oh, young guy, Christian Cage. Nick Wayne. There we go.
Nick Wayne. We've had him on our show as well.
Yeah, so a great Pacific. Yeah. I feel like they run between Seattle and Portland. I feel like AEW runs a couple times a year up here, so it's always felt like a good fertile ground for pro wrestling audiences.
Yeah.
Both cities.
Yeah. Yeah. And AEW, I think when you're asking off the top of my head, I can't think of. I think there is someone in NXT right now that has ties to Oregon without having the ability to research it right now. I don't want to say for sure off the top of my head in case I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But also off the top of my head, I can't really think of anybody, main roster or otherwise, that really is, you know, tied to the Pacific Northwest and WWE. But AEW, you know, I feel like has more of a connection to
Doink the
Pacific
Clown.
Northwest.
Doink the Clown was from the Pacific Northwest.
The original Doink the Clown, yes, Matt Bourne.
But bell time's at 4:30 on Wednesday, Wednesday, April 22nd. So skip out work a little bit early, but that'll be a long show. So you have plenty of opportunities to get down there. And yeah, don't really have much of a match card yet, but I have to imagine those PNW wrestlers will be well represented. Or just go boo
Yeah.
MJF.
I have a coworker who went to SmackDown was actually in town a couple months ago. And my coworker, it was his first time going to a live WWE event. And he said he had so much fun with his friends that they decided that they were gonna buy tickets for AEW when they came in. And to me, like that just shows like why it's so important for there to be alternative pro wrestling. You know, it's good for the whole ecosystem of the sport. It's, you know, WWE's top dog, but they enjoyed it so much that they're going to come into the next one that comes in town. That's a, you know, different company, but same type of entertainment. You know, so the whole AEW being successful isn't going to take away any of WWE's steam. That's kind of the point I always try to make. Like, and so it kind of frustrated me last year when WWE was going so hard with all the counter programming, and when AEW had their big WrestleMania-like show All In, WWE made sure that they had a show next to them. And I'm just thinking, is that necessary to do that? Is AEW doing well going to take any thunder away from you? I personally don't think so. But, you know, I'm not sitting on a board of a big corporate company either, so I'm not the type of person to make those decisions.
Well, and the old adage in business and marketing is Coke never talked about Pepsi. Pepsi would talk about Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola never talked about Pepsi because number one
There you go.
does not need to be worried about number two. So, and like you mentioned, they're different audiences. Yes, they're in that Venn diagram. There is a crossover between WWE and AEW fans. Like back in the day, there were WCW fans and WWE fans, but there's some people who just want their different thing, and you do not need to kill the other one just because you are obsessed with being a monopoly. Like, there's people who are going to support pro wrestling outside of WWE. No matter what you
Right.
do, people will find it. And
And
as we're
it's
about to discuss, there's plenty of alternatives, even if it is local.
local. Just this last year, I've been honored to be a part of, you know, I thought that's what you were leading to, but with the Roundtable Pro Wrestling, their next show is this Sunday, the 19th. So what's exciting to me about that is, you know, WrestleMania really is a global kind of wrestling convention. And one of the things that's fun about going to WrestleMania week, if you can afford it, I got to experience this a little bit when I went in to WrestleMania 34, which I just want to say, like, it was a lot cheaper. That event was a lot cheaper than the last couple of years they've been, so I was able to do something like that. But it's not just the WWE events all week. There's these independent promotions that do, you know, their biggest shows of the year, and the host city, it's a big economic boon to them to have all this tourism. And I talked about this on the other shows I've been, Wizard of Wrestling. I'm really worried about WWE heading to Riyadh next year. What that's going to mean for the independents that rely on WrestleMania weekend to sell their tickets and do their shows in the host city. They don't have the budget to go to Saudi Arabia. And I actually have fleshed this out a little bit. I think this is a golden opportunity. If Tony Khan does not do this, he's not as smart as people give him credit for. This is a golden opportunity for Tony Khan to do their version of counter programming. Hey, you can't afford to go to WrestleMania. We're doing it here, and we're offering an affordable alternative. That's an opportunity for the independents to latch on and continue that. I think it would be great. I don't know logistically how that would work out, but WrestleMania was supposed to be in New Orleans this year. So if AEW could do a counter WrestleMania during Riyadh WrestleMania in New Orleans, that golden opportunity to see where that would go.
No, I think that's a great idea. If you built it around an AEW, okay, AEW is going to be the big show, but Defy and Prestige and GCW and all these other smaller promotions, MLW, whoever else is, are they're all going to run shows all week? Because as we've talked about, if you're not a pro wrestling fan to the, like we are on the show and some of the other diehards, WrestleMania, all of these other, it's basically a convention week. All these smaller promotions from around the country gather in the city wherever pro wrestling is. They're not running the football stadium. They may run the armory or the smaller convention center. Not everybody needs to run Moda Center, but the little buildings around there. So you basically have 7 straight days of wrestling. You can cherry pick which shows you want to go to, what meet and greets you want to go to. And it's just a great kind of gathering of the wrestling community has been built around WrestleMania, even though these people have nothing to do with WWE.
Absolutely.
And next year, that will not be an option.
Yes, yeah, that won't be an option in Riyadh, but it's like I said, that's AEW's golden opportunity to take advantage of that void. And we'll see.
Well, let's talk through. I do have a series because there's way more local pro wrestling than most people and myself included probably realize. So I have a bunch of the local promotions in the Pacific Northwest, including their upcoming shows pulled up here. But we'll start with Roundtable, the
Cool.
group that you are best affiliated with. So anything you want to say on their upcoming shows, you mentioned Sunday, April 19th, doors open at 5:30, bell time at 6 at American Legion Hall, post 176 in on 20th Avenue there in Vancouver.
I just want to add that they are growing. I was honored to be a part of their inaugural show, and from what I found out, tickets are I don't know if it's completely sold out, but they sold a number they weren't expecting to sell as quickly as it was. They've got a lot of tickets already bought up. So it's if you have your chance to check out Roundtable Pro Wrestling, I highly encourage you to do it. They're only growing with each show, and that momentum just going to keep going.
Now, you may be too intertwined in the promotion to make a pick on this, but do you have a pick in Brian Brooks versus Big Vicious for the championship match?
Oh, I think Brian Brooks, he's been carrying it since he won that, and I don't see the momentum slowing down for him anytime soon.
And again, just looking at some of what we have here, Defy Wrestling, I don't see any upcoming events for Defy, but I think they are one of the bigger ones. They run up and down the West Coast and all the major cities. As far as indie wrestling goes across the US, I think Defy has one of the bigger footprints. Run a lot of Portland, Seattle, down to Vegas and LA. A little bit they go throughout the country. But they might be the biggest game in town, I guess, at this level. I could be right. You know this better than I do.
They just had a cross promotion show with Dragon Gate Wrestling at the Hawthorne Theater a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
Couldn't tell you the exact date, but yeah, that was a huge show. I wasn't able to go to it, but it just again represents what you were saying. That is arguably one of the largest independent wrestling promotions in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. So as Patrick mentioned, ran April 10th just here in Portland, and that was their first show of the year. It looks like pretty much monthly from here on out. So keep your eyes peeled. Defy Wrestling is the name there. So probably a show coming up in May. We just don't have posted here yet. And now we're descending down the iceberg. And I don't mean disrespect to these promotions, just me as more of a casual fan. I don't know some of these quite as well, or maybe aren't as big, but POW is one of the ones that I was kind of familiar with there in Portland. They have a double bill coming up a Friday and a Saturday. You typically have to go a little further south for these. The 24th is in Albany, the 25th is in Eugene. I think Salem Kaiser is about as far north as they get. But you do have POW coming up with a few. Is that the Ricky Gibson that I'm seeing on this card here? But I feel like POW runs quite a few shows throughout the year.
Yeah, I think they need two shows a month every month. Yeah, they're home based out of Eugene. So I actually haven't been able to make it to the PAL show, but a lot of the guys that wrestle for POW wrestle up here for it's called DOA, and prestigious, they kind of share talent. So I've seen a lot of the guys, but haven't had the honor to see yet.
Speak of the devil, next on my tabs was the DOA show. And like you mentioned, a lot of those people you may see again here on May 9th and 10th. Saturday, May 9th, bell time 7 p.m. at the Jackson Armory in Portland. DOA, we can be heroes. What do we have tickets here? $40 VIP, $20 just to get in. And then on the 10th, so again, a back-to-back bill of Saturday, Sunday, May 10th, deal with the devil. This one's at the Independence Elks Lodge in Independence. Same thing, $40 for front row, $20 just to get in. So you can a good pick there, depending on where you are in Oregon between Independence and Portland.
And what's fun about these indie shows like this is, whether you want to spend $40 for front row or just get in, no seat is a bad seat in these shows. And everywhere is, you're up close and part of the show, and the audience is just as much of the show at an independent show as the wrestling is. There's nothing without the audience. We saw a little bit of that in 2020 with the pandemic and how kind of weird that was. They kept doing wrestling, but it was just not the same without the crowd there. And in independent wrestling, I think the crowds at independent wrestling are more fun than even at, the bigger WWE shows, just because it's more intimate and everybody there is a part of what's going on.
And I
And
will,
the wrestlers, they're gonna hear your boo, they're gonna hear your cheer, they're everybody's input is going to be put in. And yeah, just a lot of fun.
I will agree with that. I have never, I've, I, we see it through a different lens because we know pro wrestling so well, but I've never taken somebody who's like, oh, pro wrestling, that's that fake garbage. I don't want to watch that, blah, blah, blah. Whatever their complaints are. I've never taken somebody to an independent wrestling show who hasn't had fun. It's
Sure.
entertainment. It's a bit of a circus. Wrestling started in the circus back in the day. That's how pro wrestling came into being. And it has a lot of that variety show, the circus. If you want something a little bit more bloody, you want some comedy, you want some serious athleticism, you want some impressive high flying. A lot of these local shows have a lot of that. It's not, sure, it's not going to have the glossy production values of a WWE, but I've never been with somebody who's like, you know what? I was really bored. I hated that.
I agree. And the
And
independents, to me, they represent, like what I said, has historically, wrestling has always been a blue collar working class form of entertainment. And I think the independents, represent that better than the major ones do right now.
These last three are more Washington focused, and we are fully submerged down the iceberg. I have never heard of any of these three. Again, no disrespect to their promotions. I'm just not as in depth as Patrick is on these. 5CC Wrestling out of Bellingham. It seems to be where most of their shows are. No shows advertised right now, at least on Cage Match. I should reference that. Cagematch.net is where I'm getting all my shows and cards.
Yeah,
But their last show
that's a
is at the
great
end of
resource.
February.
Yeah, I've heard of 5CC, and for some reason I thought they did a closing up show that they went out, and so it's nice to see that they're still doing shows. I don't know whether they're special occasion or they're
Cage Match
continuing
list,
regularly.
yeah, they're listed as active on Cage Match, but yeah, they were a lot bigger in 21, 22, and they've kind of trickled down since then, but there does seem to be
Yeah.
some kind of a pulse.
What's unique about them is they have a five-sided ring. That's the
Oh, interesting.
five. That's where the five CC comes in. Yeah, we've actually had on Wizards of Wrestling, we had a guest who said he wrestled in the five-sided ring and said it was really kind of weird to kind of learn how to navigate that. But that's their big catch, is that they've got a five-sided ring, which I've never seen before. I've seen a six-sided one
Right. The
with
TNA
TNA.
six-sided, we've all got used to.
But yeah.
And I have two left here. This one I'm becoming a fan of just based on their social media presence, and it looks like it may be a little bit more tongue in cheek if you're fine with a little bit of campy comedy in your wrestling. SOS Pro Wrestling out of Tacoma. Their next show coming up on Friday, May 8th at 7:30. It looks like it's going to be some type of a show. Jody Threat is coming in from TNA,
Yeah.
which is going to be the biggest name, but SOS is another one I've never heard of.
Oh wow. Yeah, my understanding is they're a little bit they kind of have more of a theme to their shows, or kind of a like pirate tiki theme. But I think at the end of the day, they're still just straight up, local and local and just you said Jody Threat's coming in. Just athletes coming in, doing their craft and putting on a good show for the audience. I think, they just kind of have their setup kind of look more pirate theme, but I think the action is still just it's just Smash Mouth Pro Wrestling.
Do you have 5 minutes to play some
There,
trivia?
I do.
So, I have in front of me all of the WrestleMania main events.
Okay.
I'm curious how many of them you can name. I'll be more impressed if we do this in order and we start at number one, I can give you the year, the location, if you give me the
Okay.
wrestlers. All right, the
Yeah.
inaugural WrestleMania 1 from 1985.
That was Hulk Hogan and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff versus Rowdy Roddy Piper and Mr. T.
Can I give you a half point for getting the right people?
Yes.
Hogan and Mr. T were a team versus Piper and Orndorff.
Wow, here I am going like this. WrestleMania
WrestleMania 2.
2,
Kind of a
that
forgotten
was
one because WrestleMania 2 is terrible.
it's terrible, and it took place in three cities.
Just the last match broadcast, which there's one name you could name on the first like 10 of these, and you're half right every time. You just got to figure out the other person involved.
Yeah, I want to say it's Hulk Hogan versus King Kong Bundy in a cage match.
You are correct. Bonus points for having the cage match in there,
All
Hogan and Bundy. WrestleMania 3.
there, that makes up for my botch of the first question. All right, WrestleMania 3, that arguably the one of the biggest WrestleMania main events of all time, the match that put WWF on the map. That was Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant.
Now, WrestleMania 4, I'll make this easier. This is the one non-Hogan match.
Oh, one non-Hogan match. That almost makes it harder.
Right?
I think WrestleMania 4, was that the one that had a tournament
It
as the
is the
main? So I'll take that as my win. Off the top of my head, I could not tell you who that main event was, but that I knew that it was the tournament. That's my win for that
Very,
card.
very of the era names, Macho Man versus DiBiase for the championship. We're up to
Yeah, I wouldn't have been
five.
able to get that off the top of my head. Hogan, one of them.
Okay.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Your 2 year old, that's WrestleMania 7, so we can skip that one later. That's Hogan Savage or Hogan Slaughter. There he is, I just gave it to you.
Right.
This is the
For
Mega
seven.
Powers. This is Hogan Savage.
Okay.
So, and you mentioned Slaughter, so that's 5 and 7. So what's in between at 6?
Where was WrestleMania 6 held?
This is Toronto,
If
Skydome.
I can. That is the one that was Hogan and Ultimate Warrior.
That is correct. That's Hogan Warrior.
Yep.
Right. And we skip ahead to WrestleMania 8 in 1992 in Indiana.
I want to say Sid Vicious was involved in the main event.
You are correct. Hogan Sid.
It was Hogan Sid.
Now, WrestleMania 9 is tricky because there's kind of two, depending on how you want to think of it.
Caesars Palace, Las Vegas. Bret Hart versus Yokozuna
Yes.
was the main event, and then Hulk Hogan came out, and I think it was Hogan versus Yokozuna who did the leg drop on Yokozuna and
Right.
left with the championship.
Yeah. So whether or not you say Bret Yoko or Yoko Hogan for the, and then number 10 here, I will give you a hint. We are done with Hogan.
Yeah, at the top of my head, I can't do it.
Bret Hart and Yokozuna.
Okay, the
Number 11 features a non-wrestler, if that helps.
Refrigerator, William Perry against Bam Bam Bigelow.
You're close. Bam Bam versus Lawrence Taylor, another football player. I think Perry was he was in like a WrestleMania Battle Royal, but this was Bam Bam and Lawrence
Okay.
Taylor.
Okay.
All right, WrestleMania 12, 1996.
That was Diesel versus Shawn Michaels.
Shawn and Bret, the Iron
Sean
Man
and
match.
Brett. Oh, I'm jumping ahead one then. Okay.
WrestleMania 13. I'm gonna tell you. So Kevin Nash never main evented at WrestleMania.
Really?
He was in like the SummerSlams and the Royal Rumbles and everything else, but he was never a WrestleMania main eventer.
I thought it was
He
13 or
may.
14 that he did, but
He. Yeah.
okay.
13's kind of a
So we're
weird
at
left
13
field one
right
because
now.
I think Shawn and Diesel may have wrestled at number 13, but the main event's kind of weird.
Is the main event, is that Austin and Bret Hart?
That was the one good match on the show, but it was not
Okay.
the main event.
Wait, no, it's coming to me. Is it Undertaker and Psycho Sid?
It is Undertaker and Sid. We are into the Attitude Era. WrestleMania 14, 1998.
That was Steve Austin versus Shawn Michaels.
You are correct. 15.
And that was The Rock versus Austin.
Correct. 16, aka WrestleMania 2000.
16. The Fatal Four Way, Mick Foley, Triple H, The Rock, and Big Show with a McMahon in every corner.
There you go. WrestleMania
It's a big mess.
X7 or 17.
That is my favorite WrestleMania of all time, and that was Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock.
Now, WrestleMania 18 could be I this could be tricky.
Yeah, the main event was Jericho versus Triple H for the Undisputed title.
Yep.
The best match of the card, and what everyone thinks should have been the main event, was The Rock versus Hogan
Right, WrestleMania
in
19,
Toronto, too.
2003.
That was Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle,
Correct.
WWE Championship.
WrestleMania 20, 2004.
The Voldemort of pro wrestling versus Triple H versus Shawn Michaels, the Voldemort being Chris Benoit.
2005.
He who shall not be named. That was Batista versus Triple H.
Correct. 2006.
That was Triple H versus John Cena.
2007.
That was Cena versus Shawn Michaels.
2008, WrestleMania 24.
Undertaker at Edge.
There we go. 25.
Triple H,
2009.
Orton.
There you go. 2010.
It's Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels in the rematch.
WrestleMania 27, 2011.
That was The Miz versus John Cena.
There we go. Do you just want to do 12 and 13, 2012, 2013, 2-for-1?
Yeah, that was the twice in the lifetime matches, The Rock versus John Cena.
WrestleMania 30, 2014.
That was Daniel Bryan versus Batista versus Randy Orton.
Now, WrestleMania 2015, there is the asterisk in here if you want to try to go for bonus points.
On paper, main event was Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, and that was when Seth Rollins cashed in.
The heist of the
turned
century.
Into a triple threat. Yeah.
Oh, WrestleMania 32 is sad. 2016.
32, that was Triple H and Roman Reigns.
There we go. 33.
33 was, I believe that main event, that was Reigns and Undertaker.
There you go.
Was the main event, that one.
34.
34, that was the one I was fortunate to be at. Lesnar versus Roman Reigns.
There we go. 35 in 2019.
That was the first women's main event, and it was Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Ronda Rousey.
There we go. Now, 36 is the beginning of the two nights. So in the interest of time, I will let you choose either of the two night main events. And the
okay.
is 36 is COVID mania as well.
Yes, and 30, like you said, that's when it went both nights. And I've always thought the main event of both nights is the main event of show. So for the interest of time, I'll guess that one.
Okay.
And so for 36, that was Drew McIntyre and Lesnar.
There we go. 37 in 2021.
That was Edge, Daniel Bryan, and Roman Reigns.
God, I've totally blocked that one out of my brain. 2022.
Lesnar and Roman Reigns, 5,000.
We were finally done after that.
2023, that was Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns.
There you go. 24.
Cody did not take it. That was Cody and Roman Reigns, where Cody did take it.
And last year, 2025.
That was infamous heel John Cena against Cody Rhodes.
Well, we thank you all for joining us. We will see you on our May episode of Sportslandia. Go check out Wizards of Wrestling and everything Patrick and his crew are up to. We thank you all for joining us. We will see you next time. Keep your stick on the ice.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. Since 1920, the Campbell family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
La programación de KXRW es posible gracias a socios como Buckley & Associates, abogados que ayudan a víctimas lesionados a obtener la justicia que merecen por más de 40 años, con licencia en el estado de Washington. Su equipo diverso habla más de 7 idiomas, haciendo que tus derechos sean más accesibles y fáciles de entender. Conoce más en BuckleyLaw.net. Repito, BuckleyLaw.net. Buckley & Associates. Hablan tu idioma.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的 语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
Chúng tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.